الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As rightly said by my learned brother Maulana Muhammad Uzair Sahab, the foremost thing that we are required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have faith in certain realities that have been mentioned by the Holy Quran and by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, every one of us has to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has sent us here in this world so that He may test us whether or not we are running our lives according to His commands. Everyone knows that he has to leave this world at some time or another. There has been many differences between different groups of human beings, ideological differences, political differences, but there is one reality on which no human being has ever disagreed. All are agreeable that all the human beings have to die. They cannot live on this world forever. There are people who have denied the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people in this world who have denied the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They denied the prophets. But no one has ever denied the fact that death has to come to everybody. And no one has ever foretold, or no one knows for certain how long he is going to live. Despite all the developments in different branches of science, no science has been able to foretell for a person how long he is going to live and when he is going to die. So we all have to die and present ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our life in this world is a transit towards the life hereinafter. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed many books, divine books, and sent many prophets and messengers to provide guidance to human beings how they should live on this earth and what are the basic requirements that one is supposed to observe during this life so that he may achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. So all the prophets and especially the last prophet, Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has come with a set of directions for all human beings. These directions are the requirements that we need to observe are of two kinds. One is iman, to have faith, and second is al-amal salih, that is virtuous acts, virtuous deeds. If you read the Holy Quran, you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to these two aspects in numerous occasions. Alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. Innalladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. Innalladhina amanu wa amilus salihat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned iman first and virtuous deeds later. Which means that the foremost thing that we are required to do is to have correct faith in all the realities that have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his prophets and especially to Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, every one of us is duty bound to see whether his system of belief, whether he has the faith in all those realities. So there are some fundamental beliefs in which we have to have faith, and any departure from that faith may expel us from the ambit of Islam. Those are the faiths mentioned by the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in unambiguous words, clearly, without any ambiguity. We have to have faith in those realities. When a person embraces Islam, he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And he says, Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadri khairihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala wal ba'thi ba'da al maut. So we have to believe in all these things, in Allah, in his angels, in his books, in his messengers, and in the hereafter and the destiny and then resurrection after the qiyamah. So therefore, first our foremost requirement for us is to consider whether our iman is correct, whether is our faith is correct, is there any shortfall in our iman or any deficiency in our iman. So alhamdulillah, there are many books written by the scholars of Islam to explain some fundamental beliefs of Islam. My brother Maulana Uzair Sahab has now requested me to confine myself, or at least, you know, to focus my today's discussion on a particular belief that is very fundamental in the Islamic beliefs, that is the Khatmun Nubuwwah, that is the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he has referred, he has, you know, mentioned right now that there are some people who are misguiding Muslims about this very fundamental belief that has been enshrined by the Holy Quran. So, in order to meet his request, I have just recited a verse from the Holy Quran, and I intend to explain that verse a little bit, and then to explain how this fundamental belief is being violated by some people who claim themselves to be Muslims. This verse, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. This is a verse of Surah Al-Ahzab in the Holy Quran. The background of the revelation of this verse is that during the Meccan period, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to live in Mecca, he married Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and out of this wedlock, Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha gave birth to four daughters of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But no male son was born from Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So some non-Muslim leaders like Abu Jahl or Abu Lahab, they taunted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he claims to be a prophet, while he was deprived by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from having a son. And since he has no son, therefore his progeny will no more be continuing after his demise. So the Arabs used to be proud of their sons and their progeny continuing for many decades and many centuries. So he said that Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was deprived by Allah from having a son. He has no son, and his progeny will no more continue after his demise. Even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina, even then only two sons were born for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was the name of one was Tayyib, and the Ibrahim, and one was Tayyib. But you know, Ibrahim also has expired when he was a very little child. So some Jews repeated that objection that was originally raised by Abu Jahl. So when Abu Jahl had raised that objection, Suratul Kausar was revealed. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar fasalli li rabbika wanhar inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in that surah, inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, O Rasulullah, O Prophet, O Holy Prophet, we have given to you the kawthar. Kawthar means abundant good. abundant good, and it is also the name of the river in the Jannah, in the paradise. We have given to you Kausar, فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْهَرْ. Then Allah says, "Inna shani'aka huwal abtar," your enemy, in fact, is the one whose progeny will no more continue after him, and not you. So this was revealed in Makkah. When the same objection was raised by some Jews, the present verse of Surah Ahzab was revealed. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any male one from among you. But still, he is messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. Last of the all prophets. This is the translation of this verse. Which in fact refuted the objection by saying that although he has no male child, yet the whole ummah that is coming up to the day of doom, all this ummah are really the sons of this holy prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His progeny will continue up to the until the day of doom will come, because he is not only messenger of Allah, and messenger of Allah, all the Muslims are Muslims following a particular messenger, are in fact spiritual children of that messenger. But this messenger is not like any other messenger, not only Rasulullah, wa khatam an-nabiyyin. He is the last of the prophets, no prophet will come after him. So his prophethood will continue till the last day of this world. And therefore, all the millions and billions of people who will embrace faith, and he will come after his demise, will be the spiritual sons of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the objection was very adequately refuted by this verse, and it was declared that he is not only the prophet but the last of the all prophets. This is the background of the verse. This verse has laid down the fundamental faith, fundamental reality, that no prophet will ever come after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In whatever sense, no one will be appointed as prophet after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, this was one of the verses that in very unambiguous terms declared this belief. And there are many others. My book, my father, Hazrat Maulana Musiba Mashrafi Sahab, Rahmatullahi Alayh, has written a book in the name of Khatm Nubuwa, in which he has quoted 200 verses of the Holy Quran that prove that no prophet whatsoever can come after Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, based on this verse, has declared in many ahadith, in hundreds of ahadith, he said, expressly said, La Nabiyya Ba'd, there is no prophet after me. And in a hadith, Rasulullah has said, Sayati min ba'di dajjaluna salasun, kulluhum yaz'umuna كلهم يزعم أنه نبي وأنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعد أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, foretold the Muslims, warned the Muslims, there will come after me 30 imposters who will claim, each one of whom will claim that he is Nabi, he is a prophet. But be aware that I am the last of the prophet and there is no prophet after me. In another hadith, Rasulullah has said that in the children of Israel, there was a chain of prophets. Whenever a prophet died, another prophet succeeded him. But I am the last of the messengers, therefore no prophet will be appointed after me. However, there will be ulama, scholars, and they are supposed to guide the ummah according to my teachings. So there are a large number of ahadith to that effect. Therefore, it has been the agreed belief of the whole ummah, with consensus of all the scholars, that no prophet can come after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And actually, as foretold by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there came many people who claimed to be prophets. Even in the days of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there appeared Musaylama, Al-Kazzab, or Aswad Al-Ansi. They appeared in very days of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They claimed to be Nabi, to be prophets. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared all of them as kafir, as non-Muslim. And each of them have been destroyed in a jihad waged by some sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Even a woman claimed to be a prophet in the name of Sijah. Her name was Sijah. She claimed to be a prophet when somebody argued before her that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, La nabiyya ba'di. There is no prophet after me. She argued that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, La nabiyya ba'di. He did not say, La nabiyyata ba'di. Yani, La Nabi is a masculine gender, and Nabiyya with Ta is a feminine gender. So she said, he has said, La Nabiyya Badi, that no male Nabi can come after me, but there may come a female Nabi and a female prophet. So such stupid arguments have been advanced by those imposters who claim to be Nabi. And whenever such a person who claims to be Nabi appeared among the Muslim society, he was condemned by all the, not only by the scholars, but all the common people. They never accepted anyone, because to accept anyone as prophet after Rasulullah is in fact falsifying the whole set of the verses of the Holy Quran and such a large number of ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, all these people, came for a small period. They attracted some stupid people, and then their movement has been, eliminated by the bulk of the Muslim society, alhamdulillah. Everybody was fully aware of the fundamental beliefs of Islam, and therefore they are no more than a story in the history. But in the later days, in the last century, there appeared a person in India whose name was Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. In the beginning, he started writing very attractive articles. He was, he knew Arabic. He had studied the Holy Quran and Ahadith. In the beginning, he started writing articles which were, normal articles explaining the directions or guidance of the Holy Quran and Sunnah. And through these articles, he acquired some popularity among a group of people. But gradually, he started to lay different claims. First of all, you know, after a preliminary period, he claimed that he received some revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that revelation, and in some, when he was objected, some objection was raised that no revelation can come to any person after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do you claim that this revelation is coming to you? He said this revelation is a kind of ilham that some Sufis have been claiming, and therefore there is nothing wrong about it. When his followers, you know, started growing, then he came one step forward and said, I am the Christ, Jesus Christ, Masih Ma'ud. And Rasulullah ﷺ has foretold that Masih, Sayyidina Masih ﷺ, will come in later days. I am that Masih, Masih Ma'ud. And I have come now, and the people should believe in me and should follow me. This was second step. As a third step, he claimed to be a prophet. When confronted with the Holy Quran and with the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, my prophethood is in fact not that that kind of prophethood with the door of which is closed now, but it is a, you know, it is a minor prophethood in the sense that this is a prophethood in which no sharia, no new sharia or new law has been given to me. I am only a prophet to remind you of the very teachings of the Holy Quran and of the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is not that kind of prophethood that has been, you know, has come to an end on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then later he claimed that my prophethood is of a special kind. And that special kind is named as Zilli, al-Nubuwwatu Zilliya wal-Buruziya. Zilli and Buruzi, Nubuwwa or prophethood. What does it mean, Zilli Nubuwwa? Zilli, it is a shadow. It is a shadow of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Buruzi means manifestation. It is a manifestation, a second manifestation of the prophethood of Rasulullah himself. So, it is a zilliyat, bruzi nubuwa. Therefore, the nubuwa that has come to end is only the original prophethood, not this kind of prophethood. When he was confronted by the verse that I have just recited, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ, this means last of the prophets. So he said, Khatam in Arabic means ring. You know, ring that is worn on in the fingers. Ring. And that ring used to be used in the past to stamp, to put a stamp on something. So Khatam al-Nabiyyin means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a stamp of the prophets and the messengers, in the sense that whenever he stamps on someone, he becomes a prophet. So Khatamun Nabiyyin, he is a stamp of the prophets in the sense that he, whenever he stamps on some person, he becomes a prophet, he acquires prophethood. So I was stamped by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be a prophet. He has made me a prophet. Nobody has ever asked him at that point of time that the Holy Quran says he is Khatamun Nabiyyin in the plural, that he stamps many messengers. If we take this stupid interpretation, even in that case, there should be a large number of messengers stamped by him. But still he says that during these 1400 years, no one once was stamped as prophet except Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. So this was misinterpretation. Now, in fact, when he claimed that I have not brought a new law, a new Sharia, therefore I am a ghair tashri'i Nabi without any new Sharia. But still, he came later on saying that I am not bound by any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am myself a prophet and I have the authority to say that this hadith is authentic and acceptable and this is not acceptable. So he rejected many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means that he has claimed to abrogate many injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he said that I am a shadow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact he claimed that I am superior to, na'udhu billahi min zalim, I am superior to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he says that his first manifestation 1300 years ago was the first manifestation which was not perfect. This manifestation of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my shape is the manifestation that is full and perfect. Na'udhu billahi min zalim. One of his followers has said some, couplets, poetry, praising Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, and this couplet was published in their official organ, Al-Fazl. He says, Muhammad phir utar aaye hain humme. Muhammad phir utar aaye hain humme. और आगे हैं से हैं बढ़कर अपनी शाम में, और आगे से हैं बढ़कर अपनी शाम में, मोहम्मद देखने हो जिनको अकमल, गुलाम अहमद को देखे कादिया में. मोहम्मद सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम हैज कम अगेन अमंग अवर सेल्फ एंड इज मच मोर सुपीरियर टू द प्रीवियस मोहम्मद, एंड हुएवर वांट्स टू सी मोहम्मद, he must go to Qadian and see Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. These are the ashar or the couplets that have been published in Al-Fadl. And not only, it was not merely a pure poetry. When these couplets were published, the poet who said these couplets had inscribed it in a frame and presented it before Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, that I have said this in your praise. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad said, MashaAllah, you did well by saying this ashar, and this is the exact reality. So although when they use the term zilli and buruzi, they pretend that this is a minor kind of nubuwwah. But in fact, they mean that this nubuwwah is much more superior to that of Rasulullah, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what greater kufr may be, than the one claiming that he is superior to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the case of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad. When his claims reached the scholars of the Ummah, all of them unanimously held him as kafir, obviously. Can you believe someone to be a Muslim who claims that he is superior to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Therefore, obviously he was held as kafir, as non-Muslim. But unfortunately, this person, you know, if you read his books, you know, I invite every reasonable person to read his books, because whenever he reads these books, it will appear to him, you know, like the sun in the day, sunlight in the day, that this person is kafir. But unfortunately, he was supported by the British imperialism. He has himself admitted that I am a tree planted by the British government. So they wanted, you know, they wanted discord between the Indians. Therefore, they supported him in many respects, and that is why he grew up. Now, when he passed away, his Khalifa, Khalifa Awwal, that was named among them as Siddiq Akbar, was Hakim Nuruddin. And then, when he passed away, there was a dispute on the question of succession. Who should succeed Hakim Nuruddin, about the second Khalifa. So at that point of time, these people were divided into two groups. One was headed by Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud, who was the son of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, and another was Muhammad Ali Lahori. He was one of the staunch followers of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani and used to write in favor of him. He has written many books, and one translation of the Quran is available throughout the world, translated by Muhammad Ali Lahori. So, at that point of time, there was a dispute between the two groups. Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud was appointed as the second Khalifa of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, and Muhammad Ali Lahori could not succeed. Therefore, he established another group, which is now called Lahori Group. In order to attract the sympathies of the Muslims, this second group claimed that he does not believe Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani to be a prophet. He does not believe that he was a prophet. Rather, they believe that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was a Mujaddid, and Masih Ma'ud. So, they, you know, wrote a lot of articles against Mirza Bashiruddin Mahmud, that he is, when he claims Mirza Ghulam Ahmad to be a prophet, he is wrong, and we claim him to be a Mujaddid only. Although, if a person believes an imposter to be Mujaddid, how can he be treated as Muslim? Once the kufr of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani is proved above board, but still someone claims that he was a Mujaddid, he was our, you know, Imam or Masih Ma'ud, how can we believe him, hold him as Muslim? But in fact, Muhammad Ali Lahori, whatever Muhammad Ali Lahori claimed was, you know, a disguised expression because he believed in every, in each and every line written by Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, including his claims of prophethood. So, in Qadian, when they were in Qadian, yani in India, they were supported by some British imperialism, and therefore grow a little bit. When Pakistan was established, then there was a demand from Muslims that these people must be declared as non-Muslims because they have belief in Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani to be Nabi or to be Mujaddid. When this issue came before the government in 1974, the issue was placed before the parliament, and the whole parliament was converted into a judicial committee before which the issue was presented, and then all the Qadiani people and Lahori people were provided an opportunity to defend themselves and to present their arguments and to advocate their case. So they wrote, both of these groups wrote, you know, their statements. Yani, they were, you know, they comprised around 300 pages. And they argued their case. They said that we should not be treated as non-Muslims because whatever Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani has claimed is not against the Holy Quran or Sunnah, and they have distorted the meanings of the verses of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Muslims presented their case before the assembly, and I had the honor of writing the religious part of that statement. And that statement was presented before the assembly. And then all these people were brought in witness box and were cross-examined by the parliament. I mean that they have been provided the full opportunity to defend themselves. But this cross-examination continued near about 3 weeks. And in fact, they were unable to answer the questions put to them in their cross-examination. And then the whole assembly, unanimously, without any single dissension, has held them as non-Muslims. And this is the constitutional position of these Qadianis people and Lahoris people according to the constitution of Pakistan. And the whole Ummah is unanimous on their being non-Muslims outside the pale of Islam. When this decision was taken and the constitution held them as non-Muslims, they raised hue and cry outside Pakistan that they are being persecuted in Pakistan and they are being treated ill-treated in Pakistan. And then, having no scope in that country, they spread all over the world. And then, now, they are misguiding many Muslims who do not know the reality. Because when they come to you, they will not say that Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was a Nabi or a Prophet at the first step. At the first step, they will show you some articles, some of his articles, which are very good. As I told you, that in the beginning he has written very good articles on the religious aspects. So they will show you those. And when you are familiar with this name, then gradually they make you, accept all his claims. So this is their policy. And they are now spreading in many countries. And the people who do not know the reality, their full background, they sometimes fall prey to their deceits. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, I would warn you that everybody should be very careful while receiving some publicities or, you know, ads or tracts of these people. You know, they name themselves as Ahmadi, Muslim Ahmadi. Ahmadi, in fact, they attribute themselves to Mirza Ghulam Ahmad, you know, Ahmad. But, you know, they do not say themselves Ghulam Ahmadi, they say Ahmadi. So, because one of the name of the Holy Prophet is Ahmad. So, therefore, sometimes people, you know, may confuse themselves by this name. So, in fact, my intention to explain all this, this to you is that my Muslim brothers and sisters should be very careful about them and should know well that these are not Muslims, although they claim to be Muslims. And in this sense, they are more dangerous than other non-Muslims. Because other non-Muslims do not claim themselves to be Muslims. No Christian will claim that I am Muslim. No Jew will claim that he is a Muslim. But they claim to be Muslim. So therefore, additional thing which I would like to point out is that some people sometimes are deceived by their apparent acts. They pray like we pray. They make adhan like we make adhan. They hold fast in Ramadan as we hold fast in Ramadan. They pay zakah as we pay zakah. And if they are allowed, they can perform Hajj, although they are not allowed in Saudi Arabia to enter. But if they are allowed, they will perform Hajj as we perform Hajj. So some, you know, common people will would, you know, wonder how these people they are praying very well, they are reciting the Holy Quran, they are reciting the Kalima. How can we hold them as non-Muslims? So, my brothers and sisters, I would rewind you of one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has said about a particular group of people that that was supposed to appear after Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is Khawarij. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to all the Muslims, you will find these people very pious in their appearance. And so much so that Rasulullah said that you sometimes may have envy on them, against them, in their prayers, in their psalms, in their acts of worship. They will worship very well. They will pray very well. They will keep fast very well. But still they will be out of Islam. So this hadith points out that merely these apparent acts do not mean that a particular person is Muslim, unless he has the correct belief according to the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, never be misguided by some apparent acts of these people, and must know that they are followers of an imposter, that is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. We do not want you or any other Muslim to be involved in violence or you know, in physical confrontation, but we must preserve our own faith. We must preserve our own iman. We must teach our children what correct iman is against these people. So I think, inshallah, this much will be sufficient to give you a very brief picture of these people and how you should refrain from being misguided by them. If someone wishes to know much, know more about them, then there are many books written in Arabic, in Urdu, in English, in every language there are books, detailed books, and particularly the statement that was presented before the National Assembly of Pakistan, which was presented before that, it has been now translated into English also, and its title is Qadianism on Trial. Qadianism on Trial. That can also be consulted if someone wants some more information about them. I think this much will be enough, and if you have some questions, inshallah, I'll be glad to. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
If anyone has any questions, just put it on the paper. Papers will be distributed. Tomorrow a lecture will be delivered by Mufti Taqi Usmani Saab after Isha in Holland Park Mosque. Tomorrow Juma in Holland Park Mosque is conducted by Mufti Taqi Usmani Saab. On Saturday a lecture will be delivered in Karabi. The topic is interest. So Saturday the topic is interest. Lecture will be delivered by Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Saab in Karabi. Tomorrow Juma and the lecture after Isha is conducted by the eminent scholar, and that will take place in Holland Park Mosque.
First question is, what is the difference between Mirzai and Qadiani and Lahori group? I think I have already explained that Qadiani group, openly says that he believes Mirza Ghulam Ahmad to be a Nabi, while Lahori say that they do not hold him as Nabi, rather they hold him as a Mujaddid. Although this is also a misrepresentation, as I explained. Then the second question is, if born Mirzai married Muslim Sunni lady decided to sign documents to prove he is Sunni in front of a witness, but still, however, both are still associating with his families. Please answer the following questions. Should we attend any gathering or dua at his place? Should we eat at his place? What if he has not yet left his past Mirzai mosque back home in his country? Are these people allowed to perform Hajj? You know, first of all, you must know that unfortunately these people sometimes deceive Muslims in certain respects. When they say that we are Muslims or Sunni Muslims, they mean that they are not Shia. So therefore, they say we are Sunni Muslims. So therefore, unless you properly inquire into their exact beliefs, you should not rely on them. And secondly, Islam does not prohibit you from meeting non-Muslims. As you live here, in most of people are not Muslims, either Christians, non-atheists or whatever, you can meet with them. But, these type of non-Muslims, Qadianis, they are different from other non-Muslims in the sense that despite being non-Muslims, they claim themselves to be Muslims. So therefore, policy should be a little different from other policy adopted with them should be a little different from common non-Muslims. Therefore, one should not have close relations with them as far as possible. You know, some circumstances of necessity may be accepted, but normally one should not have close relations with these people. They are not allowed to perform Hajj. In Saudi Arabia, they are banned. Should the wife follow the husband or what should she do? If a Muslim woman cannot marry a Qadiani at all. If someone has done so, her marriage is invalid in Sharia. Invalid, it is not, you know, a valid marriage. So she must separate from such a husband. Should we greet his past families? What is the difference between Sunni and Mirzai? You know, I have already answered that, you know, close relations with these people should not be held. What does Islam say about celebrating one's birthday? Here to get around, these people say, we are having a dua, having engagements, becoming very common here. In fact, celebrating birthday is not a part of deen, our deen, you know. Has it been a part of our deen? The birthday of Rasulullah would have been celebrated by Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So, because he was the most esteemed person ever born. But no Sahabi has ever celebrated this day. So this is not a part of deen. It is, if it is not held as a part of deen, rather it is celebrated as a local custom, for example, we cannot hold it as bid'ah, but still it is an imitation of some non-Muslim people, because this celebration of birthdays has come to us through non-Muslims. Therefore, the Muslims should avoid it. So far as the occasions of getting together, that can be done at any time without any celebration of birthday. It is permissible to get a home loan from MCA and ISKCON. In fact, ISKCON had approached me while in Pakistan, but they unfortunately they could not comply with the request made by me, and therefore I cannot approve the scheme offered by them. MCCA also, although in principle, the principle they have explained to me, the principle of diminishing musharaka, that is an acceptable principle, but it was needed that the implementation of that principle should also be monitored by Sharia scholars, which is not done. So therefore, I cannot say anything about it. Some of our products are made of cheese powder. I was told it is made from the lining of a cow's stomach. Is it permissible to eat this? Pure cheese, without any addition of cream or something like that. If it is a pure cheese, then it is allowed to eat, according to the prevalent view in Hanafi maslak. They allow the cheese even if it is taken from an unslaughtered animal. If a person follow one madhab, can he join another madhab for the sake of convenience in his daily practice? My brothers, in fact, all the madhahib of fuqaha, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, all these people, you know, tried their best to reach the correct intention of the text of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of the Holy Prophet. And this endeavor taken by them is called ijtihad. Everyone has made an ijtihad, but no one has ever made ijtihad to find the easiest way. He has undertaken ijtihad in order to find the correct intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be it difficult for us or easy for us. No one has adopted a madhab in order to seek ease or convenience. So likewise, if a person follows a madhab based on dalil, then he can follow that madhab based on dalil. But so far as convenience is concerned, that because this madhab suits my own, you know, desires, therefore I follow this madhab, this is not following Sharia. It is in fact following the desires of oneself. Therefore, this policy of pick and choose based on one's own convenience and desires is not acceptable in Sharia. If you grow your vegetables and use blood and bone for the fertilizer, are the vegetable halal? Yes, it is halal. Merely putting blood and bones in the soil does not make the vegetable haram. Should tax be paid in Australia? You know, it is very unfortunate that sometimes Sharia, you know, is desired to be used for our own worldly benefits. In fact, when you are living in this country, you are bound by its laws that do not compel you on something haram. If a law compels you on something haram, then لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق. But so far as they do not do that, I think there is no law that compels you on haram things. But so far as you are living here, you should abide by the laws of the country. Sometimes my brothers or sisters, you know, put such kind of questions that require a whole book to explain all these things. Do we have to make up for the salat done on an aeroplane? No. If you have performed salah standing in an aeroplane, then you do not need to make i'ada of that salah. However, if you have performed sitting without having the direction of qibla exactly, and without having proper ruku and sujood, it is better that you make qaza of that salah after you reach your destination. Is animal rennet halal? As I explained in the case of cheese, rennet is if it is not of pig, it is halal. Is it permissible for a woman to cut or trim her hair? Cutting or trimming the hair of women may be of two kinds. Some even want to trim some of their hair from lower side in order to grow them more. So it is halal, there is no objection on it, and it is permissible. But having, you know, that kind of hair as, you know, our Western women normally have, it has a resemblance with them, and therefore Muslim women should avoid it. What is the correct length the bed should be kept according to the Sunnah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Afu al-luha," yani raise, or what you call, grow your beard. To grow, in the word used by Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ifa," or does not mean to have some small hair. It means that their hair should be grown. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is reported to, you know, trim his beard after one qabza. Therefore, most of the scholars say that the beard should be at least one qabza. Death insurance, is it haram? Death insurance, what is death insurance?
Life insurance.
Life insurance. Yes, all the policies you are prevalent today of life insurance is haram. Is photography permissible in Islam? This is according to the majority of scholars in our subcontinent of India and Pakistan. They hold it as bad as any picture, you know, drawn by pen. But some of our scholars in Arab countries, and one of them is Sheikh Bakhit, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has held that photography does not fall within the definition of that picture that was prohibited by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is a matter of difference between the contemporary scholars. However, I personally feel that the instrument does not make a difference. If you make a picture by your hand or through a camera, you know, the result is the same. Therefore, it should be avoided and it is not permissible. Is it permissible for Quranic ayat to be displayed in homes or mosques? Yes, what is wrong with it? If some Quranic ayat are displayed on a frame or something, there is no harm. However, the fuqaha have held it as makruh to inscribe the verses of the Holy Quran on the stones of the mosque, because those stones may fall sometimes, and then it will be against the sanctity of the verses. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final prophet. How can we handle a question saying that Imam Mahdi is actually the final messenger? Imam Mahdi is not a messenger. First of all, Mahdi, the word Mahdi is found only in some reports which are disputed by some scholars. But what is mentioned in the authentic ahadith that in the last time there will be an imam, yani amir, from yourself, and he will be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he will not be a messenger. Will not be a messenger. Many Muslim brothers driving taxi at night, drunk women drunk women, maybe bored in taxi, seen with eyes, women without haya, also with men, is that money halal for taxi driver? In fact, taxi driver is supposed to have the person from place to place. His basic purpose is transporting. He has nothing to do with the people who are being transported, what they are doing. Therefore, his income may not be treated as haram. Some brother was asking me last night that sometimes a person says, drive me to the casino, for example. So whether it will be permissible for me to drive him to the casino. I said, you know, from Sharia point of view, you are supposed only to make the transport the person to that place. Casino is a place. But after, you know, disembarking from your car or from a taxi, what he is doing, you are not responsible for that. So therefore, the amdani or the income is not haram. Are we allowed to share food, accommodation, hanging out together with Qadianis? Can we have any sort of interaction with Qadianis? I already explained that close relations with these people should not be held. However, if somebody is going to them in order to convince them, you know, in fact, every Muslim is called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make da'wah. اُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْبَعُزَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنِ. So if somebody is able to make, to invite them to the correct path, to the path, then he should go towards them and then mingle with them for that purpose. But if you are not able to, you are not, you know, adequately knowledgeable to convince these people. And one thing must be clear in your mind, that these people, because their main purpose is to propagate certain of their beliefs, therefore every person is thoroughly trained by them in these issues. Masih Ma'ud, Wafatul Masih, or you know, they will not talk you about Mirza Ghulam Qadiani. They talk with you about the Wafatul Masih or Hayatul Masih. So everybody is fully trained about these issues. But unfortunately, we are not so trained. So therefore, if someone, say common people, a common man goes to them, he will hardly be able to convince them. Therefore, you know, one should not have close relations with them. Is organ donation allowed in Islam? If so, what about if the recipient is non-Muslim? This is an issue in which I have tawakkuf. Tawakkuf means that you know, certain questions may be answered by saying la adri, I do not know. So this is the issue in which I would say I do not know. So you can set some other scholar. Is it permissible to erect tombstones on stores on graves? It is not permissible in Sharia to build any you know, building on a grave. Grave must be without any building. Is it acceptable to kill chickens using the wheel? What are the conditions to make it halal? In fact, this question cannot be answered in a few moments. I have a full treatise on the subject, which is now available in English also. So those interested may consult that. If one is unsure of the direction of Al-Kaaba during Salat time, what must one do? Be it in the plane, ship, or through this whole universe. First of all, in this case, one should guess. And whatever direction he decides to be his best guess towards Kaaba, he can offer prayer towards that direction, and that prayer will be acceptable. Even though later you learn that direction was not correct, you need not make i'ada or repetition of that salah. boys and girls swim together at school are also can son and mother swim together? The answer is obvious that according to Islam it is not jais, it is not permissible to swim together, boys and girls. In this age and time, should we invite ladies to the mosque? Many ladies come here without niqab. If you have a separate area for the women, then I think that for listening to the lectures, as whether in Juma or at some other time, they should be invited. So far as Salah is concerned, Salah, according to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is always preferable for women to pray at their homes, not in masjid. What is your view of Fazail A'mal, and if there is some authentic or unauthentic ahadith? Fazail A'mal is the book written by Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, rahimahullah ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, it has been proved very beneficial for the Ummah. There are some riwayat or traditions that were pointed out by some scholars to be weak according to their chain of the narrators. One must remember that Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala was a great scholar of our time in Hadith. And his works on Hadith are remarkable. His commentary on Muwatta, his commentary on Abu Dawud, his commentary on Bukhari are available to everybody. And he can know out of those books that his deep knowledge of the science of Hadith can hardly be compared with any other contemporary scholar. But despite of that, he has written this book, and he has included some of traditions that help to be weak in the chain of narrators, because according to Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab and a large number of scholars of Hadith, in the case of Fadail, some weak ahadith may also be mentioned, and on that basis he has mentioned those ahadith. Therefore, it should not be objected to. However, it is better that some scholar of hadith points out that this hadith is, although this is weak in chain, but it can be accepted in the case of Fadail. It will be better while reciting these ahadith to mention before the audience that this is a weak hadith. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين. ربنا اتنا من لدنك رحمه وهيئ لنا من امرنا رشدا. ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير، إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم إنا نستعينك على طاعتك، اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية، ونسألك دوام العافية، ونسألك الشكر على العافية. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته، ولا ضالا إلا هديته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adaka minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul 'alim wa tub 'alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amin bi rahmatika.
Thank you.